This is A New World Order. Welcome, one and all. If you're unfamiliar with our show, we run fake nations, well, real to some of us. We do take it to heart. Through a nation states simulator, nationstates.net. And then we talk about our proposed policies here and try and keep to our particular political flavours. We've got a socialist on board, we've got a free market capitalist on board, and whatever the hell you do, we've got that too.
I'm all about happiness.
Surrealist, maybe?
I mean, I trapped all my people in a living, breathing Salvador Dali painting and just seeing them go.
You are hearing voices, and I am here with two of my colleagues, two of two colleagues, in fact, from across the seas. One whose larynx has unfortunately let him down this week, ones who, despite working perfectly, consistently lets him down by translating perfectly his thoughts into speech. Welcome.
I'm the good one.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yep.
Which sure. one is that?
The one that's Sebastian, the great crusader of world America. I don't know. Hello.
Is that who you are this week?
The
I'm
best
so
boy.
Glad that he's
it's disgusting, Seb.
No. I'm the best boy. The best boy of world America. Hello.
And I am Giles Lazanes, whoever, the National Council of Zane Australia.
And rounding out the nations, I am Andy Schossler, the most supreme, magnificent overlord of everything you ever saw in the Great Confederacy of Andropolia.
What episode number is this?
120.
It feels weird having you do the intro because obviously Zane's dying right now.
And he has 119 under his belt. I'm sure the listeners are also raging and pulling their hair out.
Right, this is a Patreon one, so very few listeners will hear it.
So next week when I do this, then we'll really throw them off. Excellent, can't wait.
Well, gentlemen, we have our nations. We have our speculative politics laid down, I'm sure.
And I have an issue.
Excellent.
Now, I will remind the gentleman from Sudamerica that last week I let you have your way with my nation.
What did I do last time?
Something ridiculous.
That checks
out. Under the assumption and the promise that this week you would not.
I remember making this bargain and directly thinking to myself, sucker Zane, I'm not going to remember this deal. Thanks for reminding me.
So I brought a very, very important issue to the table. Jolly jousting japes.
Ooh.
A motley group of sportsmen, equestrians and medieval reenactment enthusiasts have petitioned the government to bring back the sport of jousting.
Didn't I just do this?
Yes.
Yes.
What did I do? Oh, we'll get
you
there, I guess.
You legalised the gambling of it. You sort of regular.
Yeah, I put it into Colosseums or some shit. Yeah, that's right. Good.
It'll be awesome, exclaims medieval scholar Jack Hack Tolkien, pointing at a painting depicting the ancient sport.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be
bringing back such a revered part of our past would invigorate a cultural life. And that said, we need to do it the old-fashioned way, meaning a full commitment to lances and armor and fine horses. What do you say? Let's bring the past to life.
No.
Good answer.
I mean, fine, do it if you want, but
why do I need to pay for it?
I mean, far, he has 100% of my vote because I have no other options. That's how it works. I hear the first option, I'm fully committed, and then I get watered down in percentiles until we get to the final option, and then I work out who has the most.
I mean, I guess if it's banned already,
it's
then
not.
That, oh no, well, under, you know, under the nation states.
I've removed, I believe the last thing I did to sports was remove all government funding.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, see, I'm against that.
Why? Why do you think taxpayers should
put
the bill for anything?
Oh, I'll tax them for things that I don't even know exist.
Why?
Because I can.
That's
Andrew.
Rubbish.
Because I can.
That's an abuse of power, Seb. That's immoral. It's disgusting.
I think we need to jazz it up a little, suggests popular daredevil Martin Knievel. Instead of jousters using horses and lances, what if they instead play on motorbikes and sports cars?
With machine guns.
Participants can even use a variety of weapons, such as maces and axes. It will be bloody, but we'll have so much fun.
If in the name of fun.
Okay, so bringing back genuine blood sports.
Yeah.
Gladiatorial blood sports.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm on board with this because it's only a minority of people that will be involved in this. Just because we bring back a blood sport doesn't mean suddenly it's okay for a kid to walk up to another kid on the playground and hit him with the baseball bat in the head.
You've never played Nation States before, have you?
Nation States? I'm just saying, like, it's still, like, I love NRL, but they're not going to let me play for the Brisbane Broncos because I'm not good enough. So by making it a professional sport level, though, it's so secluded.
The amount of violence, the spikes in violence that happen directly after big sports matches.
When the umpire makes a bad call, sometimes you just got to split the skull of the person next to you.
Whether the umpire makes a bad call or not.
Yeah, like, and I agree.
It's not only street violence either. It's also domestic violence. Specifically with contact sports have a greater impact on violence levels.
Oh, even soccer riots in like South America as well. Like a non-violent sport like football, like, yeah.
Well, that's hooliganism. Yes. But contact sports like rugby, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Hmm. Hey, if a kid gets hurt, the one thing he's going to learn is how not to get hurt next time. Unless this he dies.
If he survives.
Yeah, if he survives. But that's Darwinism.
Interesting thought, ponders my Treasury Minister Shinzo Janeway, admiring his reflection in a polished shield. Jousting could very well be a boon for the economy. We could even get the gambling industry in on it. Let people place bets on jousting matches while we take a cut of the proceeds. I doubt event coordinators will have any problem filling stadiums with people who'd pay top dollar to experience this real-life exciting sport.
Hey, that's the one I picked from memory.
Yes.
Is that all the options?
No.
Oh, thank God. But what are you leaning at so far out of those three, unless option four is the one that you're thinking of? What's
one, bring it back to life. Let them.
Oh, so you're happy for that?
Let them bring the past back to life. Of those three.
Yeah, because when we first said it, you were like, I hate this one. So is it just because they're not?
Oh, really just wait until you hear option number four.
I'm going to just blindly select it, I guess. No.
Is the proposal to bring it back with the objective of the game to kill your opponent?
I don't think anyone said
no,
they would
no.
Kill,
so yeah. it's just deaths definitely happened with jousting, traditional jousting.
That was Martin Knievel that said, "Let's kill each other."
Martin Knievel is let's update it with motorbikes, sports cars, axes, and maces.
He's not saying to kill anyone, but it's kind of like the logical step is when you bring a lightsaber into this thing, it's going to cut someone's head off.
Yeah, if you're allowing something that has death as the objective, that opens up murderers and people with a suicide wish to carry out the fantasy, and it's not right.
Let's be clear here: dying is not illegal.
No,
so it's fine. I think we all agree: death is legal. Okay.
Option number four: why are we focusing only on jousting? Asks the posh aristocrat Apu Prisoner as he cleans his glasses. Don't you think times were simpler and better when everyone knew their place? There were benevolent lords in their manors, peasants merrily tilling the fields, even courtly jousts conducted by illustrious knights. Shouldn't we do our part to make these traditional values a reality again?
Oh, so you want a castle?
This is basically bringing back the landed gentry.
Okay. So
bringing back serfdom.
Am I safe to say you do not want that option?
I do not want that option.
So you want option one. Is that all of them? That is all now, is it?
Option number one, while it implies government involvement and funding, is just, hey, we really like this sport. Just let us do it, please. Option number two is like, hey, how about some blood sport? Option number three is, hey, how about some blood sport? And we profit off of it. Option number four is, you know, all this talk about sports really makes me want to bring back the monarchy.
Can I just establish that your preferred ranking would be 1-3-4? Sorry, 1-3-2-4.
1-2-3-4 in that order.
Oh, you actually would rather just bring it back for blood sport, but not make government profit off of it?
Yes.
I thought that was the best option because at least then you can use those that money for like your education system, as opposed to just letting them kill each other for no reason.
No.
And by putting the gambling thing, obviously you're making it more official in a stadium as opposed to just on the street blood sports.
Like you said, it's not illegal to die. If someone wants to sign a waiver saying, I'm entering into a competition against one person with an axe and against another person with an axe, and one of them dies and one of them gets grievously wounded and I have to heal them in a hospital, that's fine. But me going, okay, these two people are going to try and kill each other. Let's see how much money we can skim off the TV deal. I think that is something entirely different. That's a government profiting off the pain and death of its citizens.
But also,
it incentivizes the violence.
But there is an argument to be made that extra money would also help with. I mean, I know none of, both of us, no, we don't care how much
people
pay. Let
the people involved get the money for whatever they want to do. If they want to monetize it, let them monetize it. And the winner can either get the money or and give money to the person who died's family.
Yeah, I mean,
the government shouldn't be involved.
I'm happy with the government paying for all these medical costs. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for that. I just figured if you can tax a little bit off that to help contribute towards the fact that you are going to be paying all these high
medical
costs.
No, well, that's
costs,
the thing. I will not let you take that. I will veto.
Well, no,
that
I'm not taking it. I'm just saying. I think it's a weird argument because it's the same thing, but this way they're kind of paying for themselves by injuring themselves, but also having profits
totally
to pay for them.
It's totally immoral for a government to profit off the pain and death of its own people.
I think allowing them to kill each other is also kind of immoral, and to me, I'm not seeing a difference because my main issue is the human life lost, not the money.
In Australia, and people die all the time in car races.
But the aim in racing isn't to ram your opponent off
the
road.
If
it was, then that's a different
thing.
It
isn't to kill your opponent, it's just to grievously wound them before they grievously wound you.
Yeah.
Boxing.
I was actually going to say, MMA. we make money off boxing and MMA. That's,
yeah, and I think it's immoral.
Nah, it's good.
I think boxing should be banned.
Nah, it's fine. Only a couple of people get brain damage. And there's not many people box.
Jousting, as it's traditionally done, was actually remarkably safe.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Well, the tips were made to collapse. It was just to knock you off your horse. Yeah.
Look how that's at Christopher Reeves.
He didn't. He wasn't injured in a jousting.
No, but he
incident.
Fell off a horse and everything.
Yes, he fell off a horse.
I'm saying exactly what
he also wasn't expecting to fall off a horse.
I'm just saying falling off a horse is its own penalty sometimes.
But it's not death.
But it can be.
It's just like those, what do you call those obstacle courses? Like the, is it the Ninja Warrior? I know it is Wipeout.
American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, Takeshi's Castle, those sorts of things. All those injuries, they look a lot worse than they actually are. Because it's all about the spectacle rather than actually hurting someone.
Honestly, I'm happy with option one because it's letting people do something that they want to do. I just figured, hey.
It's the least of the evils here. Like, it's not, none of these are ideal. I don't see
why
this
number
is
four
a
is, I think, pretty neutral ground, but we'll go option one.
Okay. I don't know why we had to talk so long about that.
Just because I think we're coming at different angles. Mine's more about the death and yours is about the money. And that's why we are saying the same thing. We're just focusing on the two different parts of that spectrum, which is not compatible. That's
I think I have stronger views on what a government should and should not be involved in. Mm. And whereas you think a government should be involved in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying,
who's the real socialist?
Saying break a leg is now taken literally. Year's top books reviewed, tourism industry braces for influx, houses flooded and freaks stormed, our new edition, less politics and more pictures.
I made his people stupid.
Five ups, three downs. The biggest up at 4% is culture.
Wow.
Fortunately, the next biggest at 1.7 is political apathy.
Ah.
Tourism up 0.17, government size up 0.15, and taxation up 0.08.
So really just a cultural increase, essentially.
And the biggest down at 2.2 is weather. Charmlessness down 1.2, and average disposable income down 0.25. So nice. not big changes, but up for culture, which is not something that St. Australia sees a lot of movement in. So
no, I suppose the return of heraldry as well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
People being very proud of
I think
pictures
just,
on
yeah
the
more
shield.
Historic maybe historical knowledge.
Yeah, my family doesn't have a family crest. We didn't do that in Italy, I guess.
Yes, nobody in Italy was ever famous for having a famous family or
not
notable in any way.
Not in a crest sort of way, at least. Zane, I have a very nice issue for you. I say that having only read the title called Fun in the Sun.
There's no change. Yeah.
Neighbouring Bigtopia has gone on a tourism promotion overdrive with spectacular advertising that is bound to attract visitors in their droves. Worried by this likely fall in foreign arrivals, your tourism minister has suggested an area of World America to be marked for development. However, what area should be selected and what type of activities should be promoted? Like, this is a fun issue.
No. Should this be done at all? No. Leave it up to private developers to attract tourists. There's nothing wrong with tourists not being interested in coming to your country. You can then take all the effort that you would be putting into bringing, you know, fancy cupcakes to people by the poolside into actually doing something productive and building stuff or developing stuff.
That's what we're doing. We're building stuff. We're going to build a
in order to attract people to so you can bring them fancy cupcakes by the poolside.
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
Option one. Oh, no. Oi, governor. It's actually written as governor. That's great. What them tourists want is to feast their peepers on real life and real people, suggests Axor Ari, a colourful gent who has an equally colourful association with the law. Spend a few bob building up the working class areas of Suplex City. We'll take them tourists round our gaffs, get their laughing gear around a few Dame Edna's, and have... Oh my God, this is fucking written terribly. And have a knees up round the old Joanna. One of your aides who is from the area of Suplex City translate. He said that the tourists should experience traditional home hospitality with beverages and a sing-along.
Right. So this is essentially creating some sort of ghetto park.
Ghetto park. Where you can... we can officially title it the ghetto park for the sake of the rest of this conversation. Yes.
Slumland.
Yeah. Slums. Option two. One proposes that you send those tourists to one's stately home, opines Rupert Holdsworth Wellington, an eminent member of Suplex City's Old Money. There's acres of room, literally. There will be fine dining available throughout their stay for entertainment. They may savour some outdoor pursuits, for example, one's two-acre maze, horse riding, and of course, learning the skill of hedge artistry. Just pay one stipend for allowing those riffraffs into one's home. So, slaves. I mean, they are going to walk around. Slaves.
Well, I mean, there are like you can do farm stays where you pay to go and have the experience of having to wake up in the morning and do all the chores. It's not really farm work because you're still, you know, waking up to a breakfast and you get a you know, you do a little bit of light work and, you know, somebody's actually preparing the animal and bringing it in there and everything's already ready for you. But there is an industry for that. So,
having it's that, but upper class.
I actually don't think it's a stupid idea to have like the Downton Abbey experience of being a servant in a big manor. Yeah. Okay, having some actor play the Duke or whatever, and he's either benevolent or awful to his staff. And you can go along with your wife and stay for a week and bring him tea and watch him either scoff or tip you very generously in whatever fictitious currency they have.
Honestly, I don't hate either of these ideas so far. So, because
they're both boring to me. I don't want to distract you, but Reguilio definitely does have a coat of arms.
I couldn't see
from
one.
From Malta. Well, it's the same as the Berthier family because, again, they're both Maltese names. So you have...
Seb didn't do very thorough research. I find that
hard to believe. I searched those words in combination years ago.
That's exactly right. This must be new information that has come out.
Mm. You have a blue star right in the center at the top.
Yeah, yeah.
On either side of that, there's a fish.
Yep.
And either a cauldron with fire coming out of
that sounds like
or awesome. A bomb.
The cauldron, it's a cauldron. We're witches. We're not terrorists.
It's separated by like a red arrow shape pointing upwards up to the blue star. And underneath there is a running black horse.
Well, that does not sound like me. Mm. It's terrifying.
I wonder what the bomb means.
It's probably a cauldron, right?
Probably.
I can't see it, so I don't know what it looks like, if I can help with the interpretation of that image. But
do you like seafood?
I mean, sure. Sicily is... I mean, we're from Sicily, not Malta. But, I mean, that's also a big fishing area.
They're a whole channel apart from each other. It's
Sicily just being, like, the landmass small, everything's kind of beachfront, really. So, like, there's a lot of fishing in that area. But...
All right, okay.
I mean, more so probably than Malta. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, it's a port city.
No coastline in Malta. It's too small for that.
As opposed to Sicily, which is all coastline. 100% coastline. All right. Mm. Option three. You having fun with me?
I'm having so much fun with you, Sam.
G'day, mate. Send them tourists down to the beach, declares Sheila Billabong as she hands you a surfboard of tourism. Wait, that can't be written down.
Surfboard of tourism?
Yep. We'll show them how a true blue world American lives the life in the sun. We just need that government fellas to pull the shark nets all over the place. Then those tourists will be riding waves in no time. I mean, we probably should have shark nets anyway. I'm just saying.
It's not unreasonable.
Well, not if they're not swimming beaches. You're talking about turning beaches into...
That's not my... You've just sent me the thing. That's not my name. Why is
it's
that?
It's the same as the birth of your family crest.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. It does look
that
like a bomb.
That is what my research has shown.
It does look like a bomb, I'll be honest.
It's like the Weber crest is very similar to a number of other...
Yeah. I was hoping that was a cauldron, but it definitely looks like a bomb. Okay. Option 4. Y'all shouldn't listen to those guys. They're all hat and no cattle, states Chuck Butch 3. The third, I guess. That's a weird name for a cowboy, Chuck Butch the third.
Yeah, why? Why not?
Whose riding spurs barely fit through your door? Send those tourists to my ranch. There ain't nothing bigger or better. We'll show them how to herd cattle, use a lasso, and treat them to the biggest darn steaks I've ever seen. With a bit of extra moolah from the government, I'll set up a rodeo. Yeehaw.
Why are people so insistent on having help from the government every time their industry suffers?
Because I'm a government person and they're giving me their suggestions.
Right.
So they're all going to be asking for some sort of funds because they're coming to me for permission.
That's exactly right. You've got a big purse and they're coming at it saying, more options. I just want
what?
To...
What? There are 7 options?
Yeah. It just keeps going.
What? Jesus. Okay.
We're a very cultural place. Keep going. Every single culture needs someone.
Yoda. I'm ready to make my decision.
This person yodels. Exclaims Frau Helga Krapps, who is trying a new fashion statement with her penny. The tourist... Her penny? That's it? Sure. The tourist would be much better coming to my ski resort in the Alpine region of Submerica. They can stay in my beautiful chalet overlooking the pistes. We have skiing, snowboarding, and sledging for the little munchkins. I just want the government to let us put up artificial snow on the slopes for drier seasons. Danke.
Fine.
And next. Sorry, this keep going issue-wise. Hey, man.
So far...
That's not the best. I think that's the best one.
Alpine is the one that demands the least of the... All it says is repeal whatever ban there currently is on...
Let us use fake snow.
Yeah. Yep. That's fine.
Hey, man. We should, like, promote sustainable ecotourism, insists Dylan, a tatty-looking fellow who you swear just had a small creature rummaging around his beard. Our countryside is pretty cool, leader. The government should make laws to protect our forests and rivers. Ugh. Then those tourist dudes will come in swarms to marvel at Mother Nature's creations, man. I mean, hey, I'm also not opposed to that. Like, fuck it. Let's just fix up the land.
There's
nice.
An even simpler solution to protecting things you like that look pretty.
Stop ripping up the rainforest and putting in nuclear facilities?
Nope. Sell it. Sell it.
Who's going to profit off just, like, trees, man? And don't say lumberers.
You don't think people would pay to go to a park and camp there?
I mean, maybe.
There's value in preserving stuff, and
yeah,
what better way to let somebody monetize it than by selling them the land?
Final issue. I can't believe this is so many.
Lock the borders. We don't need any tourists.
Get off my property, Sam Looney, who was rumored to be the grumpiest man in all of world America. I don't want no tourists coming over here and having fun, especially near me. Hey, you tourists, no fun, do you hear? Folks used to be able to have fun around here. Then some tourists came and started having some fun. Ruin it for everyone. Tell them tourists they're not welcome here.
Yeah, they're stealing my fun. Yeah.
I'm open to all these options. I think the snow one is objectively the best one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, apart from old mate no tourists, I didn't see a bad option in there.
I think old mate no tourists has a point.
You reckon?
If your country is being destroyed by tourism to the point that you need to invest money into maintaining your environment.
It's apparently been destroyed by a lack of tourism, which is, I think, the issue that's actually been raised, and his solution does not make any sense.
All the people petitioning for you to save the tourism industry are representative of the tourism industry.
Yeah. It's a little suspicious, if you ask me.
Mm.
So I'm gonna go the last one.
You reckon?
Yeah, get rid of the tourists. Get rid of the problem.
Okay. I'm not going to stop you. Oh, no, this is a Patreon episode. Mm. So when I'm unjustifiably angry at you later, not many people will know. Okay, I'm going to veto that one. Otherwise, it's just poor storytelling by me when I'm angry at you.
Then arbitrarily randomly. Number one. I can't remember what number one was.
Tourists should experience traditional home hospitality with beverages and sing-alongs. I mean, that's fine. That was the...
I mean, are you paying for anything in that one?
Is that essentially subsidizing, like, billeting?
Yeah, or? I think it's just billeting.
Yeah.
It's like no hotels, it's just homestays.
I'm not familiar with billeting, sorry.
So, you know, like, if you were in a sports team and you went to an away game, you would, like, go and stay with a member of the opposing team's family overnight.
Oh, okay.
So it's just basically you go to homestays
so
rather than going to a hotel.
It did. We'll be spending a few bob building up the working class areas of Suplex City. So there we go.
No, go the snow one.
The snow one?
Yep.
Yep, cool. Okay, sorry, I had to find it. Option five. Souvenir shops that sell Alphorns. You don't pronounce the H?
No. Alphorn? No, you do. Alp horns.
Oh, they did as well. Is it one word though?
Horns. Yeah.
Of an alp?
Yeah, it's the big long horns that they like rest on the ground on you.
Okay.
Honestly.
When have I been to that place? taking advantage of gullible tourists, I did get the tourist destination banner.
Congratulations.
I'll skip my headlines because this one has gone on way long enough. Retail up 10%, tourism up 3%, disposable income, so average disposable income up 2%. As for the downs, taxation, ideological radicality and charmlessness down 2%, obesity and income equality down 1%. So, I mean, the 10% increase to retail is the only real significant. Everything else is just sort of like, I mean, tourism went up, but I assume it would have gone up with all of them, apart from the last one.
It's true.
Very interesting is what my issue is.
Oh, luckily you get to pick.
Well, I bring to us an actual issue. Ooh. Something that is, you know, potentially on the horizon in reality.
To be fair, Seb could have brought back serfdom in my nation. That would have been a real big thing.
It would have made the papers, that's for sure. All those Gutenberg press papers.
Yeah.
I, Robot, do solemnly swear. Yes. Last week, a humanoid robot announced its intentions to serve as the nation's first android federal judge. Concerned citizens have come to you as to the implications and legality of this potential appointment.
Boo to all of them. Trust the robot.
Surely we cannot allow this, right? Asks Chief Justice Apu Barbam while curling the end of his beard around his finger. Letting them vote would be one thing, but robot judges? What if it malfunctions or someone tampers with it? We need to put an end to this right now. If we manufactured it, we shouldn't be allowed to serve. It shouldn't be allowed to serve in the judiciary. That's a silly argument. What if a human judge is having an off day, or is bribed, or is otherwise corrupt?
There's a whole thing about like the study about like judges before lunch being a bit more strict.
Yeah.
Like they're minor things, but like people are not above this.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, the fact that it could be tampered with, actual judges can also be tampered with.
And historically, you know, I'm on the side of the robot here when it comes to the judicial system, right?
Yes, like, with your Justice EXE in a world without the internet somehow.
Yep. Computers still exist. Just you have to transfer the judgments on floppy disks.
By carrier pigeon.
Yeah. We do have flash drives, I'll be clear, but the pigeons do have to... carry the flash drives.
You don't have vacuum tubes?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, and that's the thing. More and more AI is not going the way of we've programmed these sets of rules and it's just running through an algorithm. More and more AI is actual machine learning where you give it an outcome and it figures out a way to get to that outcome. It is very much like a human learning.
Yeah.
Like, oh no. Should I touch the glowing hot stove? Oh, no, bad. Shouldn't touch the red hot stove.
And once you get to the point where its learning is indistinguishable from whether it genuinely has learned, like humans might, or it's part of some very elaborate and sophisticated algorithm, that's the point at which you celebrate and you go, we've achieved genuine AI.
Yeah. And I think all of the reasons he gave for discriminating were defunct.
I mean, you would discriminate against human judges in exactly the same fashion.
Absolutely.
This is why every argument he had applied equally to people.
Unless...
This is why trial by combat works. Because it doesn't matter what your opinions are. You just let it sort itself out.
It only matters how big your hammer is.
It's weird how that giant man has been found innocent so many times. That's strange.
He truly is the
noblest of us all.
The pinnacle of morality.
You see, trial by combat is based on theism, meaning that God will not let the unrighteous succeed.
Mm.
So if you don't believe in God, by combat doesn't really make any sense.
Or physiology. One of the two is at play here.
Hey, who wants it the most is all I'm saying.
He's a... It's a what? Yells Gabriel Gonzalez, your minister of zero tolerance. This robot had to be made by someone, right? You don't see how that could go horribly, horribly wrong. This is just the same argument all over again.
You mean people are made too, buddy?
It's clearly a power grab by someone with deep connections at the Friendly Robot Company. We need to conduct a full-on investigation of the entire industry and this robot. Who made him? Who paid for him? What he's capable of? The works. So it's essentially denying his candidacy and launching some sort of
investigating
commission as to
the intentions of the AI industry.
Okay.
I mean,
what difference does that? I mean, you wouldn't. You would vet an actual judge the same way. You would go into his criminal history, his family background, or maybe not his family background, but certainly his own criminal history.
I mean, if you're going to become a judge, I very much doubt that your entire family would be interviewed as to who you are and who you were being and where your views came from.
Unless you're in the United States, where they elect their own local judges.
Mm.
And as with any political campaign, all these things come out of the woodwork. They even make up facts about history.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if anyone cares enough. And I think, like, this robot, maybe they care about this one, but why does that... You shouldn't... If they are truly intelligent, there shouldn't be a difference.
I mean, and he raises a good point to me, only in saying that, yes, somebody made it. Obviously, somebody makes everyone. Yeah, we're all good with that. But if I were to make the robot, assuming I wasn't doing so with the right motives, I could input my own, you know, personal beliefs into it and not making it this kind of neutral beacon that they're pitching it as. Because maybe my robot is a bit racist.
Are you saying that every human applicant is absolved from corruptibility?
No, I'm not.
Until after they are appointed?
Absolutely not. Oh, I'm just saying the point that I think they're trying to make is, even though it's being billed as this neutral thing, realistically, if somebody has made it, it might not be. Not that a person's neutral. I'm going to say, I agree. Everyone's biased.
Billing it as totally neutral.
I thought they were in the very intro. I thought they were saying it's meant to be like this.
No, he's an AI. He's standing to be a judge.
All the robot has said is it is announcing its intentions to serve as the first android federal judge.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's that's the thing. Like, it's not going to be some special appointment where it is judged for life and its judgments are 100% inviolable, just like any other judge. There's recourses and appeals.
And it would still be subject to the same entry conditions that any human candidate would be.
I'm not actually against this. I was just trying to make sense of the fact that we had two very similar options come up, and I think that was the key difference was just pulling up the reference point for the person that made it would have an influence on its decisions.
And all it does, and all the second guy, Gonzalez, is suggesting is that there's a full-scale investigation as to the programming of this robot.
Yeah.
You wouldn't analyze a human candidate's DNA.
Not
their DNA.
But you would go through their history of...
Certainly their criminal history. You may not be able to go through their family history. I don't know if that's appropriate or not, or even legal or not. I can't imagine you could interview their family members. But certainly you would request professional references.
Well, when one of the judges that Trump put through for the Supreme Court, granted, there was all the stuff brought about this judge, you know, alleged sexual harassment, all that stuff.
All rubbish.
But I'm saying that did come into the public eye. So you can say...
Yeah, of course it did.
So, but it wasn't necessarily investigated by official means, but that stuff can still come through.
No, it was investigated.
Oh, was it?
I don't remember. And it was found to be complete crap.
Well, the jury's out on that one because I didn't read that. But yeah, either way. But I'm just saying, that stuff does get looked into...
Yeah.
So, I mean, just answer what you're thinking of. You're not sure if it would be appropriate. It doesn't really matter. It will happen anyway.
No, that's exactly right. And people will make up facts in a vacuum of actual negatives. They'll just come up with, you know, stuff to bash the potential unwanted candidate with. Number three. If I may disagree, politely asks Ycroft Holmes, the robot nominee, a robotic judge has numerous benefits and the esteemed gentlemen are deliberately omitting. That the esteemed gentlemen are deliberately omitting. We can view decisions in a rational and analytical manner, unburdened by emotions, and we can make decisions for the betterment of the people. The judiciary would become streamlined and efficient. Surely these are virtues the government wants. Oh, there's nothing more terrifying than an efficient government.
Oh, no. Not an efficient government, disproving your theory that all government should be terrifyingly bureaucratic.
Stalin had a really efficient government.
Yeah, but there's a difference. There's a difference between making good judgments and killing everyone who disagrees with you.
Well, he would say he was making good judgments in killing the right people, but, and that's the danger.
Stalin was not a judge. Stalin was a dictator.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. But he got there through completely through
rebellion and revolt.
Yeah.
Through killing his opposition.
Yeah, which he legitimized.
Trial by combat. You're not listening to me.
It's terrifying when governments are efficient because you're forgetting that the government comes with absolute power. Mm. You might dispute that and say there are checks and balances, but it doesn't take many. I mean, Hitler was elected completely legitimately, and then he took perfectly legal steps.
So what you're saying an android shouldn't be elected as a judge because it'd be too efficient.
No, I'm saying the fact that he's citing that his candidacy would bring about an efficiency in government without an additional declination in power. That's the terrifying part.
I think what he's saying isn't that he's going to bring around an efficient government. It's that he's more efficient than other human judges.
Mm-hmm.
Less mm-hmm. emotional.
Any more options?
That's very scary. There is one.
Emotions are scary.
I veto all but the emotions final option.
Power is the real evil here, everybody.
Yeah.
I warned you.
I agree.
Scald noted technophobe Elizabeth Morris. After smashing your telephone, no one would listen.
Her last name to Morrison would really help this blend for me.
You became dependent on these soulless machines, integrated them into every facet of your lives, and look, now they dare to judge us. We've got to rid Anthropolia of these toasters once and for all, ban artificial intelligence, and bring home some sanity to the country.
Well, at least it's just ban AI. I thought it was about to be ban get rid of electricity. Like we have to cut them off at the source, damn it. I thought it was
how far they've infiltrated the network.
Like that's actually a low key option to what I thought she was about to say. So listen, mate, you're choosing your own destiny here, but it's probably not that one.
Look, if extrapolate this out, if you consider artificial intelligence a real thing, right? Indistinguishable from biological intelligence.
Which, you know, this question presupposes.
That's exactly right. If you're proposing to ban artificial intelligence, by extension, you are also then legitimizing banning people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Saying, you are banned, you have the
certain
wrong ideas.
Think a certain kind of way.
Yeah. So number four is write out. Number three, I mean...
Honestly, for me... Number three has to be the answer because one and two are fallacious.
They are. I mean, and let's not forget that by being a nominee, he's not automatically being appointed because he's an android. He's simply a candidate who happens to be an android.
And like,
and is subject to the
people
same...
People who oppose him going up can investigate as much as they want.
Yeah, as they would any other candidate. So I don't see any reason why the android should not stand for nomination.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Great.
All
not
hail.
Just because it was an android. I mean, let's just say that instead of an android, we just had a person of a different race who was known to be particularly unemotional. Say Vulcans.
Yes.
Like a Vulcan.
I was going to say Germans, but I like that you went fake Vulcan. Race.
No, or even French. You know, some nation known particularly for having a history with law.
Yeah. So and then they
or American
there,
for
like,
that matter.
Like,
yeah.
Should we allow this foreign national to serve as a judge? We know that they're good at it, but they might think differently than what we do. Should we allow them to stand?
I would rather a Vulcan judge than a Klingon judge, but I think that's a different show.
No, that's the same show.
I mean, like, that debate would be a different show. Sorry, guys.
I'm
very into the Trek. I'm aware of what I'm saying. I'm just saying I would rather the cold, emotionless, logical one and not the angry, yelly one that's speaking a language I can't understand.
Really?
I'd rather be judged by Spock than by Worf. Late season Worf's fine, but early season Worf, he's
Have you seen Legally Blonde?
Yes.
You know, her, Elle's class opens with the, I forget her name, the professor saying, what is it? Law is the, oh no, what is it? Law is truth. It's a quote by Aristotle. Law is truth absent of passion. Something like that.
Yep.
So it's all about the cold hard facts. I'm not so certain of that.
You shouldn't have elected a robot then, Andrew.
No, I subscribe to common law, that it comes out of precedence. Mm. And I don't think you can detach emotion from that. Sometimes, you know, actions are entirely tied to their emotional context, and you have to account for that.
Yeah.
You know, the two people committing the same crimes but under different circumstances are essentially two different crimes. I wouldn't think they're exactly the same.
Why are you arguing against the robot now after you've picked it? Because that's what you're saying. No, the emotional human element is important to this.
There is a place for it. And I don't think that a robot couldn't account for that. Because all you have to do is recognize that a situation that is emotionally loaded is distinct from another situation with very similar circumstances.
Yep.
Or exactly the same outcome.
I'd argue that most crime is coming from an emotional place in some regard.
Well, all actions you could.
But I think when it comes down to it, the actions and motivations very rarely matter to the victims of crime.
Oh no, not to the victims, but to the Anyway, sorry, your thing.
Court verdicts are predictable to within 1/100th of a percentage point.
Good.
The Andropoli Sentinel reports queuing citizens praise departmental fairness. Newspaper readers demand more complex crosswords. That's good.
Yeah, I think your intelligence would have gone way up with this one.
Tourism industry discounts benefit locals. And flush with cash, our shopping guide inside. Infotech up 13.5%. Yeah. We should compare Infotech statistics.
Yep.
Scientific advancement up 6.5%. Economic output, as well as average disposable income, as well as intelligence, as well as safety, as well as weaponization, all up 1%. As far as the downtrends are concerned, political apathy is down 2%, compassion down 4%, niceness and pacifism down 4.5%, and corruption down a whopping 16.5%.
Nice.
I think this is a big winner. Corruption is down and Infotech and scientific advancement are up.
Excellent.
This is a win for Andropolia.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, that's the only right decision there. You had three opposing what is a pretty obvious conclusion.
They were opposing it on irrational grounds.
Irrational grounds, and that's what I mean. If there was someone imposing, maybe let them through, but for the first 5 or so years, put them under added scrutiny, maybe that would be a compromise for both sides. But again, I think it's totally unnecessary. You're saying there is the system that you have is inadequate to deal with technology, basically.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And let's not forget, you know, whatever scrutiny you're going to place other nominees under, maybe if you're insisting on it being beefed up now for the artificial intelligence, it should also be beefed up across the board. Make it universal.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. So, well, we're comparing information tech.
Infotech as an industry. Now, Andropolia started the game with an infotech industry level of... Oh, it's measured in the Fanboy Productivity Index at 7,000.
Oh, wow.
It dropped somewhat steadily down to just over 4.5, but has had a sharp and steady increase and continues to be on the rise, currently at 12,071.
Nice. Yeah.
Not bad for a bunch of backward pilgrims.
Zane?
We started out in Zane Australia at -5.48.
Holy crap.
It's a very steady rise to our current top...
6 million.
16,977.
Okay.
Yeah. We had quite a big jump, maybe a third of the way. So maybe that's towards the end of the first season.
Right.
I can't remember what that is, but it was, February last year. And it was only... It's a big jump, but that's kind of the only thing that... breaking up a rather steady climb otherwise.
Of course.
And that's pretty much to be expected. I'm always...
pursuing Infotech.
Infotech when I have the chance.
But I'm surprised that I'm so close to you.
No, because you don't deny Infotech.
But I don't subsidize it either.
Yeah.
So we started off on just shy of 2,500.
Wow,
in
okay.
Sub-America at the time. And we capped out to a maximum of just shy of 2,900. And then just randomly, between the months of July and October in 2018, we just dropped down to zero.
That's amazing.
And have not improved.
that's just amazing.
Yeah. So like it's...
How did that happen, Seb?
When you look at my Infotech, it looks like that... Oh, when the Great Depression hit and all the men were jumping out of the stock market buildings and killing themselves, it looks like what happened to them physically when they jumped out of the building and hit the ground.
So let's paint a picture of the Sub-American justice system. It has one roaming executioner, no other executives.
But also no death penalty at the same time, which is weird.
That's...
Yeah, I know. I know what it is, but we specifically have no death penalty, but a roaming executioner.
Is he allowed to whip people?
I imagine he's carrying an axe.
Or can he spank them on the bottom for being naughty?
He's not allowed to assault people. He's allowed to kill people, but no death penalty. It's weird.
It's
a cultural loophole.
It's a single roaming executioner. You have judges that fly in... Oh, I can't remember how that one was resolved.
I replaced them with robots.
That's what that issue was. Okay. And you have now a computer system running all... of the judicial system with no internet connectivity whatsoever.
I will say as well, I have the least crime out of everyone at the table. And so it's not the worst system. It's working. It's like Mr. Burns, how he's all his illnesses.
Do you have the least crime?
I think I definitely have less than you.
Well, let's have a look.
How Mr. Burns has like every disease ever, so he's like invincible. That's kind of what's happening to me.
If only that were real.
Per hour.
Oh, God. Mine jumped randomly. I had a last session by the looks of it. Oh, God. Okay.
Mine's all-time low at 2.38.
Okay. So crime...
I was on 3 and last session it jumped to 9.4. Oh, wait. It was one of you jerks. Now I remember. Who did this to me? It must have been Zane.
I haven't been running.
It's like the last session. It was within the last month where it jumped. So this is one of you guys.
Oh, dear.
I mean,
I haven't run Sub-America.
I haven't run Sub-America personally for 3 months now.
Yeah, you have.
I didn't get myself.
We switched around, and then we all did our own, and then you and I switched.
Well, I can guarantee this wasn't me because I'm nothing but outlawing. I'm nothing about getting rid of crimes.
Yeah. By outlawing things?
No, by outlawing crimes.
The more you legislate, the more criminals will slip through your fingers.
No, criminals. Yeah. We don't have criminals. We have we have world Americans and the rest.
Well. Crime in Andropolia, I'm sad to say, is twice that of World America, whatever it wants to call itself this week, and 10 times that of Zane Australia at 20.2 crimes per hour. However, that has been a remarkably stable number, you could say primed for dropping, over the last... Yeah. You know, two-thirds of the entire game. So 80 or so episodes have been in the 20 to 19
What did
bracket.
You start out at?
It started out pretty high at just shy of 16.
Okay.
And it had a low of 13.
Because that's the thing. I started out at 2.8 and I maxed out at 2.9.
Right.
And I've just gone down to 2.3 now.
Yeah.
And that's very interesting.
So crime is up 25% in Andropolia over the course of the game, but it has been remarkably stable the last... last little while. All right, well, that's been the Patreon episode this week. We don't need to tell you where to go because you already know, but we will because that's what we do. Check us out on
Facebook. Twitter.
A New World Order. Twitter. Also, I'm sure A New World Order.
Yes.
Something.
It's A New World Order.
It is A New World Order.
I think A New World Order pod.
And you see, I get the updates. I just don't read them on Twitter. Facebook I do.
Mm.
I interact with everybody on Facebook.
It's true.
It is very true. Yeah, you challenge me on anything, anybody.
Why wouldn't I? I'm a communist.
And I'm correct in not being a communist.
I mean, you are correctly not a communist.
That's been us.
Zane C. Weber, National Council of Zane Australia, twirling forever towards the future.
It's your boy Seb, your best boy. Maybe next time I'll be the Andrew one. Who knows?
And I have been Andy Schossler, the most supreme, magnificent overlord of everything you ever saw in the great Confederacy of Andropolia, imploring you all, carte blanche, sans plume.
Till next time, gentlemen.